Matthew chapter 28. I don't have a lot of time. I've only got about 32 minutes before we go and eat and try to beat the Baptist. And so we got to get going here. Now it's 11:29, so I've got 31 minutes. In Matthew chapter 28, listen to what the Word of God says. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen." Amen. Now, you have an opportunity, a choice this morning. You can either rejoice in the fact that Jesus has been risen. He is not dead. There's not another God that people serve like Muhammad, Hare Krishna, Buddha, the sacred cow that some people worship in other countries. There's not another one of them that dies that is been raised from the dead. All of them are still in a tomb somewhere. But not our Jesus. Amen. Not our Jesus. Because see, our Jesus, with a large stone that it took a lot of men to roll in the door of the tomb when Jesus was crucified and put in it, they had Roman guards standing at the rock, the stone, as the song we just sang about says. How in the world, with Roman soldiers and a stone that would take a lot of men to roll, how can they get Jesus out? But yet, when the stone was rolled back, with the Roman soldiers there in attendance, our Jesus was not in that tomb. And you can't say in history any other. Scientists have tried to disprove this, and they can't. Because Jesus was raised from the dead. And you can either rejoice about that, or you can take on the cares of the world. You have an opportunity this morning to either rejoice because we're the head and not the tail, or you can take on the cares of the world in all kinds of ways. You can either rejoice because we serve a Jesus that has a name above every name, or you can take on the cares of the world and trust in all the riches of the world. You can rejoice in the fact that by Jesus' stripes you're healed, or you can continue to confess that you don't feel healed. You don't look healed. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can take on the cares of the world, or we can do what the Word of God says to do and rejoice. In your Bible, in Philippians chapter 4, a great, great message that the Apostle Paul is preaching to the church at Philippi. I don't have to read the befores that I'm going to read. I'm going to read verse 4. And what does it say? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord every now and then. Rejoice in the Lord only when the Dallas Cowboys finally win. Rejoice in the Lord just when you finally make a good run in the team roping. Or when you finally ride your horse. Or when you finally make a good barrel run. Then we can rejoice. But that's not what it says, obviously, because you're reading it. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, in the good as well as in the bad. And then it goes on to say, and again, I will say, rejoice. There's a lot of opportunities for us to not rejoice. There's opportunities for us to take on the cares of the world. The stock market. You know, the government issues. All the things that are going on in the world. Getting stabbed in the back by somebody. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities to not rejoice, but God, through the Apostle Paul, is telling every one of us that it's imperative in these days, with the choice to take on the cares of the world or rejoice. And God this morning is saying to rejoice, no matter what. And I realize that on this day, we call it Resurrection Sunday, that the churches are packed. But what about next week? I was watching through my window. Howdy and I, I was watching all those families come in and all the kids and their baskets and their dresses, and they look just incredible. I mean, I just love, I do it every single Sunday when I'm here. I just love, because the reason I look out, I thank God that cars come through this gate, because they don't have to. There's churches shutting down. Most of y'all know that I pastor a lot of pastors all over the country. And I get calls from different ones at times that are hurting tremendously over finances of the church. During COVID, when we were doing large parking lot services where I was on horseback, who was here in those years? I mean, I would call, hundreds of cars would park out there, and we put up a long trailer, and me and Ricky and Daryl, we got two guitars and a fiddle, and we would play, and then I would get on, I think Seth would hold my horse or somebody, and I'd get on him, and I would ride back and forth just preaching the gospel, because I didn't want to be shut down. Yo mama. I mean, I was on those calls with the judges and all the pastors, and they were trying to tell us, please don't have services. And I was amazed as I sat there and listened at all of those pastors in fear. They had a choice to either stand up in faith, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. The Bible says no sickness or disease shall come near our body. Why wouldn't we believe the Word of God instead of some old something that came from China, they say. And it might have been bad, but it had no dominion and authority over a believer in Jesus Christ. And all it brought was fear. And I told our church, hey, if you've got peace about taking that vaccine, you take it. But I don't know anybody that did in this place. And now we're finding out a lot of bad things. They're finally getting research. But man, because of fear from our government, you better take... And as we know, a lot of people lost their jobs. I preached against the spirit of fear for one solid year. Matter of fact, when I would get on my horse and begin to... And everybody was in the backs of their... Or of their trucks, or they had lawn chairs, or they just rolled down the windows. I preached for a solid year against the spirit of fear. You remember when the Bible says God didn't give us a spirit of fear, He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You see, you have an opportunity to take on the cares of the world, or you can rejoice in the goodness of God. I wrote a few things down because... It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Paul is speaking from a dingy prison in Rome. I've preached about this many times. It was a prison called Mamertine. Mamertine prison. In ancient Rome, in the imperial palace. And they would stick these prisoners, the Apostle Paul, that by the way had done nothing except proclaim that Jesus was Lord. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that he was proclaiming that he was the Son of God. So they stuck him in a prison. They dropped him into a hole, into almost like a dungeonous place. below the streets, and it was a place where all the sewer was washed out. When the tide came up, it would wash out all the sewer where the prisoners was. Philippians here is where the Apostle Paul was. Utter darkness, rats, and all kinds of stuff chewing on the bodies of those people. Matter of fact, when you study it out, I've told our church this before, they tied your hands up because you couldn't sit down. So you were tied. So think about when you got tired and how it would just crease your skin and, I mean, just hanging. This right here is where Paul is saying rejoice. Think about that. We're celebrating a wonderful holiday of Jesus' resurrection. And the Apostle Paul ministered to the churches here in Philippians about joy 17 times. He's saying rejoice. You've got opportunities to not rejoice, though. Of all the things that are going on in the world, we don't sometimes rejoice, do we? We take on those cares, and we get anxiety, and we get depression, and we get anger, and we get all these things. And God is saying this morning, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. To rejoice in the Lord means to look to Jesus and rejoice for all that He is in your life and what He's done to you and for you. I don't know about you, but I thank God that again I've got true hope. I've preached this all over the country that, hey, our only hope is in Jesus. I know you're seeing churches, I mean, their attendance have dropped off majorly in the United States. Matter of fact, I heard a study just 2 days ago that said it used to be in the 70s, 80% of Americans believed in God. Then it went down to in the 90s and early 2000s to 60% of the United States citizens believed in God. You know what it is now? In the 40s. That's why I'm committed to rejoice. I'm committed to keep preaching this gospel no matter what. And I know because of social media, they make up everything. It would be my advice to any of y'all, and I'll just say it in King James vernacular. Taketh your phoneth, turn offeth social mediath, in Jesuseth nameth. Okay? Because it'll ruin a lot of people. You'll believe this crap. I apologize. Did I say crap in church? You'll believe that Toro poo-poo. But really, God's saying, oh, rejoice. Because you can turn on social media and you'll be happy 1 minute and you'll be flat and mad the next over what you read. Why? Because you're inputting things into your mind. And God's here saying, no, rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. We can inwardly be joyful when everything around us is dreary. In Philippians 4 and 12. So, listen to me. We can't let trials and tribulations dictate our joy. I've taught that to a lot of rodeo athletes. Our joy is not determined by what happens in an arena. Because if it is, you're going to be up and down. And up, I mean, because you're dealing with an animal that's trying to get away from you or trying to buck you off. But when you have the joy of the Lord and you rejoice, whoo, and it's all because Jesus is alive. He's been raised from the dead. He's not dead, y'all. So why would you be dead? It's time to get alive. It's time to show back up at church next week. Why? Well, because men, and the greatest thing about the Western world is men are still men. We're the last culture of people, y'all, because our world is trying to make men to be feminine, where women then have to try to be the man. No, why did us men decide to be men and be the head of our household? Not control, but just the head. The men are the ones that say, honey, and you kids, we're going to church. And we take on that responsibility. Why? Because we're the head. And I'm not talking about we dominate the women. No, we're one together, praise God, when we're married. That's why we become one. Hallelujah. But there's something about a man that takes on his rightful God-given authority that God gave him. So that again, the women don't have to try to be the man in everything. Raising children, providing. And us men, we just need to step up like all of you do and not be feminine. Well, that's what women are for. Y'all do a pretty good job. It's like my dad, he was a man. I mean, if you broke your leg, he said, you got another one, get up, let's go. But mom, on the other hand, ooh, Jesus. Oh, she would love on us. Ronnie, stop treating them like... But then roles at times reversed. Because my mom would say, Ron, you need to go whoop those kids. And then dad would take us into the room and he would pull out his belt and he said, all right, y'all scream loud. And he would hit the bed with the belt and we would scream like we were getting killed. And mom would come in and find out that dad wasn't really beating us, and then she would beat us. You see, there's something about rejoicing. Here's some things to rejoice about as I begin to close. How about we declare, Father, I rejoice in Christ that He's my life, not my job. My job is not my life. My ministry is not my life. My family is not my life. My health is not my life. Because Romans 8, if you want to go read these things when you get home, you should. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, no one can separate me from the love of my God. Because God is my life. And I rejoice in that. I want to say things like, Father, I rejoice because my identity is in Christ Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. And I am forever your child, which reminds me of how much you love me. I love Romans 5 and 19. And Ephesians 1 and 4 that says that in Christ I am righteous, I am holy, and the Word of God says I'm blameless. Because the world says every negative opposite thing to us all. That you're no good. That you're not forgiven. But our God said, no. My mercy is new every morning. And you're forgiven, you're under the blood of Jesus. And we are to be thankful and rejoicing that our Jesus, who was crucified, was murdered, dead, buried, but then raised from the dead so that all of us can be alive in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to allow sin to dominate and have dominion over us as believers. We can say no to God, we can say yes to God, but we can also say no to sin, or we can say yes to it. You see, there's something about rejoicing. I want to rejoice and pray things like, Father, thank you because I rejoice in the Word. I rejoice in living in the world where you want us to enjoy life. You start reading in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. You know what it says? This is something to rejoice about. I command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's why God blesses His kids. We're an heir of God. That's something to rejoice about. We're a joint heir with Jesus. Something to rejoice about. When we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, He wants the best for His children. See, we don't see this, though, because of sin. We don't see this because of the fallen world that we live in, but not of. The thing is we got to start rejoicing. And again, I say rejoice. No matter what. And then finally, Father, I rejoice that You don't hold sins against me. Because Ephesians 1:7. Now this isn't a right to sin. You should never feel like that. But I'm telling you, when you say, God forgive me, He forgives you. Listen to what Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I'm telling you, there's something to rejoice about this morning, that we serve a Jesus that is full of grace, full of mercy, full of forgiveness. But one thing that we must do is understand that we are righteous. And righteousness is simply defined doing what's right. And y'all being here this morning, when you could have let the rain keep you at home, you could have slept an extra bit because you're tired, you didn't. You came to celebrate. Now, when I said tired, some of y'all wanted to go to sleep right now, didn't y'all? I could have slept in. But you know what? You didn't. That's something to rejoice about. What I'm trying to say this morning is, yes, great crowds on a Sunday, Resurrection Day. But if you want true rejoicing, keep serving your God. Amen. Don't back off. That's why I said, men and women, get your kids here. Get them to your church. Because that's when you train them up in the ways of the Lord. You get them into a habit and a pattern of, on Sunday, we're going to go to church. And then it starts to spill over in the other days of the week. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're still going to serve God even though we're at the baseball game. Or we're at the rodeo. You see, you're teaching those kids in the ways of the Lord. And the Bible says when they get old, they won't depart from it. And I'm telling you, in the societies that we're living in, the world that we're living in, and I always say it, but not of, it's imperative that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you got to know it. You got to start rejoicing in the good and the bad times so that you can get on through the valleys of the shadow of death and fear no evil. But what happens is we come to church once a year and then we build tents in the middle of a trial and a tribulation and we stay there for long periods of time. And God's saying this morning, because of His resurrection, seated at the right hand of the Father, the glorious time that we celebrate right now, it's time to rejoice. Thank You, Jesus, for being my God. I didn't say you have to stand behind a podium and start preaching, or when you serve God, you think you got to move to Africa and eat beetles. No. But how about being an influence right where you're at? Teacher, you can be an influence. A student, be an influence. Wherever you're at on your job, you own a business, that's a great time to be an influencer. But it's going to take some rejoicing in these days. It's time we rejoice. And we don't let that devil try to get above us. And why don't you go ahead and remind him, right through your rejoicing, that old slew foot, they called him old Lucky when you study out the devil. Oh, Satan himself. He's just a fallen angel. Where you and I were created in the image of God by God himself. Angels were created. They have to stand in the presence of God. Where you and I, made in God's image, can sit or stand. The devil's just a fallen angel. He don't have any power over you as a believer. But you got to know it. You know what the devil will say? Yeah, but he's this boy young and he don't read the Bible very much. Don't know much scripture. Tell that devil, but don't cuss. Tell that devil, get back under your feet where he belongs like an old filthy snake. Amen? What I'm trying to say this morning is, come on, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Yeah, London Ross has a horse that, her good horse, is having to come back from an injury. Well, that's an opportunity for rodeo people to get a little ticked off, huh, mama? Well, little mama. Well, you're not a mama now. Hang on. Sissy. And then there's Seth. Did y'all see his mustache? He's had that mustache for about 4 years. But I love it. You know why? Because I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love y'all. Let's rejoice. Amen. Let's rejoice. Jesus is the Lord of our life. But if he's not your Lord, it'll be hard to rejoice. So here's the question that I'll leave you with. If God is real, the Bible is real, and it says one day you'll stand before God. You'll stand before him. Y'all get that, or do I need to act it out? This is y'all. This is God. Okay? I'm not God, trust me. But one day you're going to all stand there individually. Every one of us. All of us. Not with our family, not with our friends. And the Bible says, that he calls it the great judgment day. Listen to me carefully and then we'll leave. You're going to stand before God one day, the great judgment day. What is he going to say to you? What is he going to say? Well, the Bible says if Jesus is your Lord, I ask him into my life, May the 10th, 1979, Otis Baptist Church in New Mexico, right outside of Carlsbad. That's where my family's from. Born in Arizona, raised kind of in Carlsbad, New Mexico, and then moved to Odessa, Texas in the 80s. I gave my life to Jesus, 1979, May the 10th. When I stand before God, according to God's word, and I believe it, God's going to say, well done. Now, Jesus, his son, is going to be beside the Father with this book called the Book of Life. And Jesus is going to go, Father, it's recorded in the Book of Life that Corey Ross gave his life to me on May the 10th, 1979. Now listen to me. He's not going to say, yeah, and he's done a few bad things, sir. You need to whoop him a time or two for this and that and this and that. Because of Jesus being crucified and shedding his blood, that's why there's grace and mercy. And when you say, God, forgive me, he remembers it no more as far as the east is to the west. Thank God for that. All he's going to be doing is, Father, his name's written in the books, is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the Father's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord heaven. Now, I'm going to be running. I'm rejoicing, man. But regretfully, the Bible says God's not a man. He cannot lie. He gave every one of us a will. You have a will. You can say yes to God, no to God. We said it earlier. If you say no to him, I don't believe in any of this God stuff. I'm only here at this service because my wife brought me. I'm just going to support my family. You have that right to say no to God. But if you do, you're going to still stand before God. And this is why I do what I do. This is why God won't release me from traveling still. I know people get upset when the pastor leaves the church for a weekend or two. But my heart is that no one says, or God doesn't say to anyone that just rejected him, I don't want to have nothing to do with this God stuff. When you stand before God, he's going to have to say, depart from me. You worker of iniquity. Hell was really not made for all of us. It was made for Satan, the fallen angel, and his demons that thought they were God and they got kicked out of heaven. But Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, remember? And that brought in the nature of sin. But that's why Jesus died, and we're celebrating it. We should rejoice over that today. But we have a will. Jesus was crucified so that we can receive him as Lord and go to heaven. He's our mediator. He's the one. It's not the preacher. It's not your denomination. It's not being a good old guy or gal. No, it's Jesus your Lord. He's the one that died for you. But if you say no to him, that's why hell. God's not sending you to hell. You send yourself there. So I'm asking you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, it's time to know him now. Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. I want to give anybody here or watching an opportunity to receive Jesus. And here's how I do it. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, you hadn't thought about it, or you've just rejected and had nothing to do with God's stuff, but I pray that your heart is being led to the Spirit of God right now. In Jesus' name. But if you're here and you don't know what would happen, you're not saved. You're not born again. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. The way to make him the Lord of your life is to pray to God the prayer I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray it. It's Romans 10:9, by the way, that says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's what we're celebrating today, thou, which is all of us, shalt be saved. Saved from hell, saved from living on this earth, without a Savior. We need a Savior, y'all. So when I pray this prayer, if you're here or watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer out loud where your ears can hear it and then believe what you pray. But you're not going to be praying it by yourself. All the believers in here, you know you're born again. We're going to learn the prayer, number one. But secondly, we're going to pray it with you. And we're all going to pray this prayer together. Not to get saved again, if you're already born again, but to just pray it with someone behind you or beside you, in front of you. And we're going to pray it with anyone here that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life. So it's time to do that now by praying this prayer. You ready? Let's do it out of our mouth. Again, I'm talking to people that don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Make heaven your home when you leave this earth by praying this prayer. Out of your mouth, and believers, again, pray this with us all. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of every sin, because I believe you have been raised from the dead. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, my Savior, my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Now don't look up real fast. I want heads bowed and eyes closed just for 1 minute longer. If Jesus became your Lord and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, the Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, you know what Jesus says? He says, I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't ever be ashamed, afraid of letting people know that Jesus is your Lord. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, this is what you're saying. God, I've said that prayer and I meant it, and Jesus became my Lord today. Thank you. And then just put your hand right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness, not ashamed, not afraid. When I say three, get that hand up if Jesus became your Lord this morning. You ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Hold it up. Let me see it. They're going to hand you a Bible, then just put it right back down. If we didn't get you a Bible, then just hold your hand up and then just put it right back down. Let us see it. And that's all I want to do is give you a Bible. We're going to get you started. And then we'll help you all we can. Anybody else? Praise God. All right, look at me. Thank you, Lord.